All right, normally we play a game with our viewers, and this I don't I hope this doesn't come across as I'm not mocking anybody here, but I thought of a game when I was asked to do this podcast. It's called Swedish Author or IKEA Catalog. If that's okay.
Yeah.
A little bit silly, but just kind of break the ice for our listeners. So I'm going to share my screen here. And this is, by the way, our very first Zoom podcast. So really appreciate you being a part of it. Okay, so here it is, right? Can you see my screen? Okay.
I can't. Yeah, I can.
Okay, here we go. So Swedish author or IKEA catalog. Okay. I'm going to put up there either a Swedish author's name or an item from the IKEA catalog, and you have to guess which one it is. Easy, yeah?
Yeah, I'm
I don't speak
nervous.
Swedish. I don't. So I'm going to slaughter these names. Do you? Do you? Is this a language you speak?
No, I did serve my mission in Estonia, so I was across the Baltic Sea from them, but
Oh.
Estonian's like Finnish. It is completely different.
Okay. Well, okay. We're about to see, right? Because I like speak Portuguese and sometimes Spanish sounds similar. So we'll see if
Yeah.
that holds true here with Swedish. But here we go. Here's the first one. Par Lagerkvist. IKEA catalog,
IKEA. I'm
Swedish
going with
author.
IKEA.
Wrong. He
Oh.
was an author who won the Nobel Prize in 1951 in literature. It's
Nobles.
actually this guy right here. That's him. Okay. That's all right. Here we go. Ready? Nakshut Sunersta. IKEA catalog or Swedish author?
I'm trying to think, can you, Knoxholt, can that be like a nickname? Hey, Knox, Knoxley.
I love it.
Sonnerstad.
I love it. What do you think here?
I'm going with IKEA again.
Very good. Yeah. So it is a
Awesome.
kitchen rail with four hooks and two containers. It's on page one of the 2022 kitchen. Yeah. Okay. All right. Ready? I'm going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to go to one word. So I'm either going to give you this is the first or last name of an author, or just one word from the IKEA catalog here.
Oh, okay.
Hallbar. Hallbar. What do we think? IKEA catalog or Swedish author here?
I'm going with a name, so Swedish author.
Ooh, this is the IKEA catalog.
Oh, dang.
This is a garbage bin with a lid. Is a dumb game. Thanks for playing. I really appreciate it. A few more. Okay, ready? Lagerlof.
Is Swedish anything like German? German's like a drink or
Oh, okay.
a drink holder,
Drink holder. Okay.
a drink
Unfortunately,
shelf.
no. This is the name of the very first woman to win a Nobel Peace Prize in literature.
Man,
Yeah.
this is
Yeah.
I'm the worst at
Selma
this game.
Lagerlof. It's a dumb game, so it's
This
okay to
is
be.
like what is it when Chandler on Friends makes up
Yes.
cups?
Yes. I love it. Okay. Just a couple more here. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Tjalmar? Almost sounds like Mjolnir.
Oh, that looks too much like a name.
Good job. Yeah. This is Hjalmar
Awesome.
Bergman. He was a playwright who had a very dark sense of humor. So there we
I'm
go.
getting better at this game.
You're getting into it. Okay. Enhet Lagen.
This looks like it's a trick question. It looks like a name, so I'm gonna guess IKEA.
Well done. Yeah, this is a
Awesome.
corner kitchen range with gas cooktop. Okay, all right. Here we go. Last one. Torbjörn Fligt.
I know there's lots of names that have Bjorn in it, so I'm gonna go with a name. So, Swedish author.
Dude, you are getting really good at this. Yeah, it took a
Come
little bit of time. He won the August Prize in 2001 for his work, An Underdog. There you go.
on. Underdog.
Yeah. Okay, that was just so dumb. But thank you so much for playing. Tell me a little bit about you. So I have been asking our LDSSA about like guest speakers and guest accounts that we could have on and talk to or whatever. And Declare My Word keeps coming up over and over and over again. Tell me a little bit about Declare My Word and what it's about. And
Well, I think the origin of it is I heard Eld Bednar give a talk. I wasn't at the talk, but when he talked about flooding the earth, he gave that talk at, I think, Education Week in 2014. And really motivated by that. But then I was young men's president and I was sitting there in a quorum meeting just thinking, man, Instagram's got a lot of garbage on it. I need to get something, you know, I need something positive to get in front of these guys. And so I created Declare My Word with the intent of just sharing good quotes, have them follow it. And they did, but then other people started to follow it. And I love General Conference. And so I just kept doing more and more of it. It was at the time though, when it was 15 seconds, 15 second clips,
the reels and stuff.
It is really hard to get a good quote in 15 seconds. And so I was cutting out every space between the words and even overlapped it a couple of times. And I was like, oh, I can't keep doing this. So when it opened up to a minute, that's when I started to really pick it up. And if people keep following it, I'm going to keep doing it.
That's awesome, man. That's way cool. I love it. I love it. And so how long has it been around?
I think I created it in 2015, and I forgot when it opened up to 60 seconds, but Christmas of 2019, I remember thinking that we were on vacation at the Oregon coast, and I was like, you know what, I'm 5,000, or it was, I think it was almost 5,000 followers. I was like, I'm going to take this seriously. I'm going to post three times a day. And so on vacation, I posted three times a day, and I just saw how the algorithm picked that up, you know, and then people started following who they would see it, who weren't following the account. And I was like, okay, that's how the algorithm works. And ever since then, you know, Christmas of 2019, I've been committed to posting it, and I've done a few 7-day fasts, but
yeah, that's awesome, man. Cool. I mean, so this is like a personal account. This is just a labor of love for you. And
it is. It kind of brings back the spirit. The nice thing about it is the time I commit to it really is the personal study time that I should have every day. And so
what do you mean? Like how so?
Well, when I'm reading the scriptures, thought comes to mind. When I'm reading General Conference talks, you know, something, I just go find that. And then it's like, oh, that'd be a good thing to post. And so when I'm editing it, you know, I almost have every one of them memorized for how many times you listen to it over and over.
Right.
But I've always been a fan of General Conference. On my mission, I would listen to General Conference, the cassette tapes, just on loop.
That I would know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I'd have my five tapes for each conference session. And actually, I think it was 10 tapes for all of conference. And I would just loop through them all and love General Conference. And but it is a labor of love. And nice thing about it now is when I see a post, and I hope nobody feels like you have to post something and it has to hit certain metrics,
right?
Because we need more people posting rather than, you know, people doing other things. But on some platforms, Elder Holland, I know there's a post that I made that if you were to line up all the time that it's been listened to, you know, end to end, over a month worth of time, people have been listening to Elder Holland give this quote. And in the back of my mind, I just think that is more than 30 days where the Spirit has had dedicated attention to give somebody a prompting.
Wow.
And I, you know, there's other ways to do it. Missionary work is not just on social media.
Right.
But there's been so many people who have been on social media late at night, having a hard day looking for something. And hopefully that's what they run into. And I hope it inspires them to, honestly, I hope it inspires them to get off social media and go do something else the rest of the day. But it's a part of our world now, so yeah. Might as well have some influence there.
So what we're trying to do here at the Institute, like just a couple of years ago, they asked, hey, would you, you know, do some things with social media and with our podcast? And it, part of me, that something you'd said earlier, part of me kind of feels maybe guilty sometimes that we don't have more followers or our reach isn't as big or as our audience isn't as big. But, you know, then you have those moments where someone reaches out and said, hey, I really needed to hear that today or mm-hmm. or what have you. But what, I guess, what would you say to someone who's like, well, actually, let me back up and ask this question first. Why do you think more people aren't using social media to post positive things? Does that make sense? As a seminary teacher, as an institute teacher, sometimes I'm like, hey guys, maybe share something you've learned on social media. And you know, the reaction is outright scoffs, like I wouldn't do that, right? And ranging to like, oh yeah, I'll do it. Why do you think some people just don't want to do that?
It may be different for everybody, but some of the examples I think I've seen is even in person, you know, when you feel awkward with somebody, you don't want to speak up. But when you post it on social media, you know it's for everybody to see. And my kids, at one point, they would post something, and they're in high school, but they would post it, and then I'd see a notification, and then I'd want to go see it, and it's gone. I was like, hey, but why can I never find your post? Well, it's because I post it, but then I hide it so that I can make it available like a week later, so it's not on everybody's feed. That way, that way you can find out who really wants to come look at your stuff. And I'm just thinking,
that's
wow, that's a lot of.
Interesting, but, though. I mean, I guess I see that rationale, but it's okay.
Well, you know, in young minds, appearance, it means a lot. You know, it's like, what are people going to think if I do this?
Right.
And especially on social media, you can never see their reaction.
Right.
And, you know, so I think it's a lot of heavy thinking that they don't need to do. But I think if you can learn to share the gospel in person, the next step is learning how to share it on social media for like a bigger reach. You know, right. If you're shy or nervous, social media only amplifies it. That's why it is such a great tool for missionary work. And also such a scary thing for people.
It's interesting how you say that, how it magnifies it. Because I've thought this, and I've heard other people say it, like, oh, it's really easy to post a comment, you know, on social media because you're not face to face. But you're saying that you feel like it amplifies that anxiety, that maybe fear or whatever word we're going to use.
For some, yeah. BYU, they did a study, and I need to go back and read it, you know, so I remember what it is, but I just remember the impression and the thing that they said is social media isn't necessarily the cause of like the depression and the anxiety and those things. But when people are on social media and they just keep scrolling past, but they never engage.
Right.
That's the issue. If they're scrolling and not engaging, they're kind of building this wall of I'm looking over the fence. But nobody can see me. And to me, that's the challenge I think that we have. And so that's why I get excited when I create a post. I don't look for how many likes or comments. I get excited about how many times is it shared.
Right.
Because, you know, maybe I have a talent for creating some content, but that's what I enjoy doing. Other people may not.
Right.
But if I can create content that they're willing to share, like your video for the donuts, hands down one of the best things I've ever seen.
Oh, good. And if you knew our institute director, yeah, he's such a nice, just a good man. And he's bald, so that's why he's wearing the bald cap. But yeah.
But if we can create content that people feel comfortable to share, that opens a good door for him.
So let me ask you, what in your estimation is shareable? Does that make sense? What have you found? Have you found anything that again, people are like, maybe I want to speak up on social media, but you know, like what makes something shareable?
Yeah, I know that's
a big question, but
yeah. What's postable? One thing that what's shareable is the message I think that resonates with people is kindness. Doctrine is good. Like on some of the platforms, if I post about baptisms for the dead or some, I don't want to call it controversial topics, but in media, you know, that people run off with, you can get people to engage with that, but people aren't excited to share that. But if you talk about kindness and, things that help you feel the spirit, helping other people, those are what people want to share. And they want to put that goodness out there. And there's a quote where Elder Holland's a social media giant. I mean, all of his stuff people right. love.
Ranging from the sometimes controversial.
Too. Yeah. He did a BYU Pathway devotional with all the church education board there. And he gave a poem about being kind. And I've posted it probably 6, 7, maybe 10 times every 3 months. And every time it gets the biggest response. People just want to hear kindness and want to share kindness. And so any variation off of that. It goes a long way.
I love that. Well, something that you just said, I think, strikes me. And as I've been learning social media and getting into it, that evergreen content, it becomes an easy way, I think, to share. So like, for instance, you're this quote that has just resonated with you every few months you're out there sharing it. I think good content is for those who are like, well, I think a lot of people, maybe especially even younger people are like, well, I've got to create original content and I've got to create content that, you know, again, it's like original. It's like, well, no, not necessarily. Like even reaching out, shareable stuff from Declare My Word or from people that you love and admire that you know other people are going to love, admire. I mean, that can be as simple as it is, right? To share
the
content. That's awesome.
It's interesting that we live in a world now with social media, and the algorithm is kind of this beast that directs people in certain directions. And I try to learn it. I know what works. I know what doesn't work, at least for my account. You know, the algorithm probably has a file on me and what I post and what people like. But I get excited that if we can get more people, and I'm not trying to encourage more people to waste time on social media, but there's so many members who are on social media. If we can get those individuals who are on social media to post, I'm not overly concerned about how many people see our content. I'm more excited about how many people are we getting to band together to have consistent messages that amplify what the brethren are saying.
I love that.
If we can get, you know, this army of social influencers, and if you're on social media, you're an influencer. I've kind of joked about it because I don't put myself on my account very much. It's usually me posting a comment. So I'm a social sharencer, not so much an influencer, but call it what it is. If you're in this world, you're influencing other people. And if we can get people with 10 followers and 10 people or people with 100,000 followers, let's just start posting content that the algorithm will pick up. And then we can talk to people on the other side of the world who will ask questions, and we can be missionaries in our beds, you know,
scrolling at 2 a.m.
just connecting with people. And there's so many good stories of people who are just having a hard time and they found a great quote that helped them that night.
And you see so much negativity. You see so much people, they just want to attack. And sometimes you wonder, don't you have anything better to do? So that idea, I don't know if you caught this, but something I caught, maybe it's because I need to be better, but from General Conference, there was so much about peacemaking, so much about just spreading that goodness, especially our prophet's comments there, where he was just talking about, look, there's no need to throw these scalpels for gangrene. Like, let's
with do gangrene something on them.
Yeah. I love that idea of, using our influence, right? My kids sometimes tease me because, anyway, they tease me and say, Dad, you're not an influencer. I'm like, I'm not trying to be an influencer, but maybe I should. Maybe I'd be like, yeah, that's right. I have an influence, even if it's 10 people. And
I'm glad your kids talk to you about it. My kids are like, Dad.
Embarrassing, Dad.
Whatever. I thought it was interesting. You brought up President Nelson and his message in General Conference. Mm-hmm. Think about this. The Lord's prophet in General Conference was about being a peacemaker. But how much time did he really kind of refer to things that are going on social media and online communication? Also, you know, personal communication that we have and being a peacemaker. But when the prophet speaks, it's for everybody. And we just think about the influence that social media has on people. We often focus on the negative. But think about how much positive can come of it if we learn how to interact with people. We can bring more people to the Savior if we just learn how to do it the Lord's way.
Right. And I think that the Lord's way, just to speak to that, I think sometimes the Lord's way is not the way that you do it, not the way that I do it, not the way that a individual do it. Like, it doesn't have to be the way that Elder Holland is doing it. It doesn't have to, it has to be the way that the Spirit directs us to say, share this, share it authentically. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you see, like, I'm going to copy content, or I'm going to copy the way they do a thing. And that may not resonate with my circle of influence because it doesn't sound like me. It doesn't act like me. And so, yeah, I love that, right? The Lord's way is the way that the Spirit directs me to do a thing. And so that's awesome.
And last night, I'm hoping that it was a spirit, but I felt like it was a spirit, but I was watching Thor.
Yes, it was.
I just kind of panned through and Thor came on and there was a scene.
Yes, I loved it. I saw that post.
And I was just, I thought about it before, but it really hit me. It's like, he's talking about Zion. He's talking about the gathering of Israel. That's how I feel, you know, the day before General Conference and then after General Conference, it's like, I'm ready to go to battle. And it's not to fight people, but it's, you know, we talk about the scriptures and talk about, you know, some of the language. There's a battle plan. You know, we're at war. And just the way that clip came through, it was like, Spirit's telling me I need to do something with that. And the quotes that came with it really inspired me. And, you know, when people watch that, I hope they don't watch it just for the movie clip. But they think, the gathering of Israel, I need to take it a little bit more seriously. If Thor's getting beat up, I can feel that way. And if I listen to the Spirit, I can come back and on Monday go to war.
No, I love that. I'm going to share that on our story too, just because I actually watched the clip. And if our viewers or listeners, you know, the tens of them, speaking of influence, right, who hear this, it's that it's in Thor Ragnarok, right, where Odin is talking to his son and said, even when you had two eyes, you just had trouble seeing. And yeah, I was watching it on mute and then I'm like, I want to hear what he's saying, because it did. It went so well with what was being taught by President Eyring and others about vision. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Hey, any words of advice? Again, I know that your account is Declare My Word. As we talk about declaring the word, any advice you'd have for our young single adults on how they can use their social media in ways that it's going to bless their lives. It's going to bless the kingdom. It's going to bless the world.
Yeah. Advice generally is so hard because everybody's in a different boat. So I'll just share kind of maybe what's on my mind recently.
Love it.
Everything to me comes back to the plan of salvation. And on social media, somebody made a comment and they weren't being too rude or anything like that, but they just said something that rubbed me the wrong way and it's really stuck with me. Okay. And they were talking about, what were we talking about? It was, I think the prophet said, you know, that we've been saved for this time, you know, it's this generation. Yeah. And his comment was, they've been saying that for years.
Right.
It's like they're always saying that. It's just a sales pitch.
Right.
I was like, really? And I thought about it. I was like, how long have we been on the earth? Yeah, we've been waiting for a long time. And we're probably going to say it to the next generation too. But we're like in the last days. And so recently, I've been thinking about something I wanted to post. And I looked up, you know, how old is the world? Because we know that the council in heaven was before the foundation of the earth. And don't trust Google for everything. But Google says, I think the earth is 4.7 billion years old.
Okay.
And so I know that spiritual time and earthly time is different. But just in my mind, council in heaven was at least 4.7 billion years ago.
Right.
We've been waiting for a really long time. One, to come to earth. One, to get a body. And we jumped for joy. We shouted for joy. We were so happy to come down here. And then when we get here, like, man, this sucks.
Like, this is hard.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, you didn't say it was going to be this hard. He's like, yeah, I did.
Yeah, actually, I did.
But we shouted for joy. I mean, the things that we're experiencing right now are so, so important, because of how long we've been waiting for it. And so Adam was 6,000 years ago, and we are now in the year 2023 on the 6,000 years, and the millennium is coming.
Right.
It's not just that we've been waiting 6,000 years. We've been waiting for an eternity for this point where the Savior is going to come back and we are going to be able to bind Satan and not have his influence, and we're going to get the work going.
Yeah.
And eternity is ahead of us. And I just think, what is Heavenly Father doing for us right now? And 200 years ago, we didn't have cars, we didn't have planes, we didn't have internet, we didn't have all these things. We didn't have the technology and the knowledge that we have, that we've received since the restoration.
Right.
And this is an encouragement to say that I think everybody should be on social media. But if you are, Heavenly Father gave us a tool. And it's either Satan is going to get us with it, or we can use the tools that Heavenly Father has given to us for the reasons that he intended. And it's not always to share a gospel message. It's not always to bear your testimony, but share goodness. Share what's good. Share what's real. Don't feel like you have to make things up. If we can be the Lord's servants and share our lives in normal and natural ways and how the gospel is blessing us, that's what people are going to be watching and seeing and be attracted to. And then they may not come and ask you, but they're going to ask somebody that they know, hey, can you tell me more about this?
Right.
And we're going to gather Israel. And I don't think we're waiting for the world to get any worse before the Savior comes. I think the Savior is waiting for us to be ready to get to work. And so I think the advice that I have is, if Heavenly Father gives you a talent and he's giving you the tools, let's get to work and do it.
Love it. Thank you so much. That's amazing advice. I appreciate that. You're right. We have been given some pretty powerful tools, and use it. I love how you said that, normal and natural ways. You're right. It doesn't have to look a certain way. I just keep going back to that. It doesn't have to look a certain way. There's not a right or a wrong way. Yeah. To just share goodness. So, yeah.
And just so I don't take credit for that one, the brethren have been saying that quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Share the gospel in normal and natural ways.
Rupdorf, right?
Normal. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Love that. Kemp, thank you so much for your time today. I sincerely appreciate it. I love your message. I love what you're doing on social media. We're going to be taking a page out of your book here at the Institute and try to produce something, just goodness. And we're really trying to get our young single adults involved in that. So appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Can I maybe pitch something with that?
Absolutely.
I've been trying to get a group of social influencers, not based on their account, but if you have an eye single to the glory of God and you want to share good things, I would love to get a large group of people. And so far we have about 150 people that have raised their hands saying, I want to be a part of that group. And we've been meeting every third Sunday so far just to talk about, you know, what's the church coming out with. And so we knew Easter was coming. And so we put a video together and collaborated on that. And I think if we can get enough people together, we can collaborate and work together, kind of row in the same direction so that we can amplify certain topics that we know the church is focusing on. So right now, because of him is coming with Easter, we want to really help get that message out. So if anybody is interested, let me know. I'd love to have you join our group.
Perfect. I will definitely be. Yeah, absolutely. I'll deputize our LDSSA to get on that, because that's wonderful. I'd like to get in on that.
Yeah. I want you there.
Okay, cool. Awesome. I'm going to stop recording this.
However, actually, hold on. Before you stop recording, can I share one more thing?
Absolutely, please. Yeah.
I work for BYU Pathway, and which is for the church. And one, on social media, trying to take over the world with goodness. But with BYU Pathway, we're also trying to take over the world. There are so many people like across the U.S., but internationally in Africa, in South America. BYU Pathway is really exploding, and people are coming, not necessarily because of the advertisements and the things that we put together, but it's because their friends and their family and bishops and their leaders are saying, hey, here's a great opportunity. And so this year we're aiming to serve about 71,000 students all over the world. In comparison, BYU, which is the flagship for all the institutions, I think is about 33,000 students, which is wonderful. But not everybody can come to a campus. And we now live in a time where anywhere the church is established, students can go to school. They can have a CES church experience going to school. And so if anybody knows a friend, knows family member that wants to go back to school but feel like they can't, we have a great program to get them started.
I love that. I was, this sounds like, this isn't a brag, I promise, but like, I just, it's insane to brag about the program, if anything, not about me, but I was there in the beginning and worked with a teacher at the very beginning, and just seeing how, you're right, insanely big this has grown. That's huge. That's awesome. Yeah. And it's a great program.
It is.